If you'd open your Bible to the book, first get your bulletin out, but then open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to kind of begin in the book of Jeremiah, and I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to look at several different scriptures as we journey through what we're going to do, and then we're going to work ourselves to the little outline we have in the bulletin, but I think it will help tonight if we might see the Bible verses that I'm going to be talking about because they build up to where we're wanting to go. But in the book of Jeremiah, we're going to be talking tonight about give God the glory. And, I'm going to read tonight out of the English Standard Version because in this portion of Scripture, especially in Jeremiah, it just says it right. You know, there's so many different translations, and I can't spend my sermon time talking about all the different translations, but there are many great translations. I love them all. I just go on record as saying, my favorite is the New King James Version. I was raised on the Old King James, but New King James is a great translation. In the scripture I am tonight, it's not maybe as clear to us as the English Standard Version. The bottom line is we just want to get it right. Is that not true? And that's the good thing about the different translations, because some of them are better in one part of the scripture than they maybe are in the other. So having said that, look with me in Jeremiah chapter number 9 in verse 23. The Bible says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Now the New King James says glory, but the idea is boasting. Don't boast in your wisdom if you're wise. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that is God, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. That is a fantastic portion of Scripture, reading what God delights. Now, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, goes back and mentions these very verses. And I want you to see it. First of all, turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you will. We'll just wait a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and look with me in the very last verse, verse number 31. The Apostle Paul is writing, he says, so that as it is written, we just read it, let the one who boast in the Lord. He's quoting that scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 9. Now turn over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just turn over into the very next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look with me down in verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. Paul says, let the one who boast in the Lord. So here, the second time, he goes back into first the scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 9. Now, this gives us the foundation of what I want us to see back in the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but go back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I want you to look with me in verse number 31. Because in verse 31, it's very, very clear that the supreme purpose of every Christian is to glorify God. If you've ever wondered, what is my main job as a Christian? What is my main responsibility as a Christian? The supreme purpose of every Christian, of you, of me, all children of God, is to glorify God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 31, the Apostle Paul makes it so clear. He says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if you're a Bible underliner or circle words, circle that word glory. That is a key word. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, man, that covers that takes care of it all. Do all to the glory of God. Now, the word glory If we had time tonight, we'd go back in the Old Testament, but the word glory originally expressed the idea of weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. That was the whole deal. And it applied to any characteristic of a child of God that made them what you would call weighty, W-E-I-G-H-T-Y, and in such a way that as people saw them, it prompted them to honor them and to respect them. Now, I was thinking this morning as James Brown was preaching. James, J.B., he's weighty in two ways. He's weighty, first of all, just humongous. And I showed James a picture I have of he and John and I in my office back before he lost all of his weight. And I said, James, come over, look at this picture. He said, oh, my gracious, there was twice as much of me then as now. I said, but don't worry, James, there's a lot of you still left, so you're doing fine. But that's not what I'm talking about. He would be in a spiritual way. When I see James Brown, when I see R.T. Kendall's, and when I see many people, not necessarily famous people, but just godly Christian people that love the Lord, that it prompts you to have a respect for that person. Of course, he's with the Lord now, but like Billy Graham, if he were living and we were in a room and Billy Graham walked in that room, it would prompt us to have respect and honor for Billy Graham. Anybody who that might be. And so this is the idea, but it applies to God. You see, God, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God. In other words, we should be prompted to honor God and to respect God, and that should be our action toward Him. Now, first of all, and this is very important, there is a glory that belongs to God. And I want you to see that in the Bible. If you turn back in Psalm number 19, and we're just going to look at a couple of more verses here, but go back in Psalm 19, because this is so important. There is a glory that actually belongs to God. In Psalm 19, for example, in verse number 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That is the honor and the respect of God. "And the sky above proclaims His handiwork." So as we look up into the beauty of the skies and we see at night the stars and we see all the mountains and the nature and the things that God and only God could make, it prompts us to honor and to respect God. One of the things I love so much about going to the mountains, and we have our favorite trails and our number one favorite trail that we've walked on for over 50 years, and you just get up in the mountains on the trail and you get away from everything and everybody and you just see the glory of God. I always think of this verse in Psalm 19, verse 1. There's some glory that just belongs to God. And one other little section of Scripture, turn in Isaiah chapter 6, if you will. Just turn it over in Isaiah chapter 6, which tells us of the call of Isaiah. But I want to show you something in Isaiah chapter 6 that's very, very good. In Isaiah chapter 6, we'll look back just in verse 1 to kind of get it in context. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Then Isaiah, and above God stood the seraphim." Now the seraphim is just an order of angelic creatures. "And each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said," now look what they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." That is His honor and His respect. So there is a glory that belongs to God. But now get number two. There is a glory to be given to God. And that's what I want us to think about this night. In other words, what can you and I do to give glory to God? Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How do you give God glory? Like, how can I give God glory? How can you give God glory? Well, if you'll take your bulletin, we want to just kind of work with that, building on the scriptures that we've looked these moments. First of all, we can glorify God simply by praising God. By praising God. Now, praising God And thanking God are two different things. Thanking God, we thank God for the things God does. We praise God for who God is. Now, in your Bible, turn back, if you will, in Psalm chapter 50. And let's just look at a verse about that. Psalm chapter number 50, and look down in verse 23. And really, here's a verse where the New King James, I think, is even better. It says, The one who offers praise as his sacrifice, God says, glorifies me. So when you and I praise God, what we're doing, we are giving God the glory that he is due. See, we talk about James Brown, Billy Graham, and others being spiritually weighty. Listen, folks, God is very, very spiritually weighty. Could I have an amen to that? And when you begin to think about who God is, and you begin to praise God for who God is, it is a way just to glorify God, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. I jotted down just some of the attributes, and I'll not have time to go into, but when we think about, you know, we're going to praise God. What are you going to praise God for? Well, for his holiness, that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, he's all-present. Wherever we go, God's there. Whatever we're trying to figure out, God already knows. He's faithful, he's loving, he's forgiving, he's merciful, he's wise, he's truthful, he's perfect, he's trustworthy, he's the healer, and he is the shalom. He is the peace. That's where you find the peace. Those are just some of the things to praise God for. Now, going back, if I may, that's one of the joys I have when we go to the mountains, because many times, like in those mountains, of course, years gone by, we'd have, started out with just me and Dottie, and then we, of course, had John, then we had Joel and his little guys. You know, they'd go with us on some of those little trail hikes, and then, of course, as time moves on, it gets back just to me and Dottie again, and then, of course, last week, as John and I were over there, well, there's the two of us, and this is Sunday night group, so I can just kind of be at home on Sunday night. John and I have a little ground rules when we go. If we didn't have them, he wouldn't go. We don't see each other till noon. You say, who made that ground rule, John? He said, Dad, if we won't have to see each other, if you let me do my thing all morning, and you do whatever you want to do in the morning, and then we'll unlock the doors that separate us, and we can function in the afternoon. So we do that. And so part of our mountain time is alone, and part of our mountain time is together. But in that alone time, like one morning, I walked a round trip of 12 miles up through that deal. I did it two or three times. And I'm just praising the Lord. And it was the most wonderful feeling just to be there and be with God and begin to think about, who God really is and to praise God. I just want to encourage you. It's one of the most spiritually rejuvenating things you'll ever do is just praise God. Just praise God. And knowing that nobody can hear, on a couple of my mountain trails last week, I would sing out loud. And I knew only God could hear me. And a couple of times, I thought it was pretty good. But be that as it may, it was good for me. And it was good for my soul. And I bless the Lord for it. Now, another thing we can do to glorify God is to give God glory, is to believe God's word. Believe God's word. Now, turn over, and I know you know the verse, but turn over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And be sure you have it marked in your Bible. This is a new Bible I'm dealing with this translation, so I didn't mark this verse till this past week in this Bible. But, you know, we know it kind of the old King James way and the new King James way. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture, this says, is breathed out. Some translation, inspired, that's what it means, God breathed, out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You know, that's an interesting verse. All Scripture is God-breathed. Well, what good does it do? Well, if you look at that verse very carefully, it says it's profitable. This is what it's the value of the Word of God that's inspired for teaching or for doctrine, your Bible may say. That is, it tells you what's right. And then if you look for a proof, the Bible tells you what's not right. And then it says for correction, it tells you how to get right. And then for instruction or training in righteousness, it tells you how to stay right. In this one book, we're told what's not right. We're told how to get right. We're told how to stay right. It's just a remarkable, remarkable thing. You know, you might jot the verse down, we'll not turn to it, but in Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, and almost every verse, not every verse, but almost every verse in that long chapter has something to do, it mentions the Word of God. It'll say it in different ways, but it's talking about God's Word. But one of my favorite verses in that long psalm is verse number 160. The entirety of God's Word is true. And when you and I believe God's Word, we give God glory. You know, of course, here we are on Sunday night in May. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't believe God's Word. But let me say a little word about that. It's easy to believe God's Word when everything's going good. Could I have an amen to that? But sometimes when things are not going so good for you, or you're up against something, or something's facing you, it's so easy not to believe God's Word. And the devil will put all kind of thoughts in your mind. You see, the battle is in the mind. And I want to encourage you. I encourage myself the same way. I may just be preaching to myself at this point. But you know, we have to control our thoughts. And if we don't do that, the devil will control our thoughts. And we'll get into something or we'll face something that's difficult. And all these things that we've read in the Bible, somehow we begin to doubt them just a little bit. And we think, well, this can't work out or that can't work out. I'm not sure about this. Listen, remember this. When you live your life, believe in God's Word. One of the things I picked up in JB's thing he did this morning in responding to John's questions, and I think we all picked it up. He's just, everything's built on the Word of God with JB. I mean, and those players, it would come to him. He was too humble to tell about that. Let me tell you a little quickie about that. You came on Sunday night. You deserve a little special. The two times we were invited, and I asked you to say, and you didn't do it, why he had never had us come back. I thought if you'd put some pressure on him, he'd invite us back. John just left that out completely. But when you go to you get in long before the people that come to see the game get in. The team's there. They're out warming up in shorts and T-shirts. They've not even thought about getting dressed. And there's nobody in the stadium. And that's when those players, John mentioned one, but it wasn't just one player that came to JB. Just player after player would just come over to JB. And, of course, we wouldn't be up there trying to listen to what JB was saying. But time after time, and he said this morning, JB's not ashamed of God. He would say, listen, I want you to meet Pastor Charles and Pastor John. They didn't know us from a sack of salt. Who are we? But that wasn't the point. He was just trying to do everything he could. He said, these are good friends of mine. They pastor a church here. And what he was doing, he was saying to these players, I'm a church guy. Now, he didn't say, hey, I'm a church guy. And then when we got in the room there, John knew all those people. Only one I really knew was Michael Irvin. But John knew a bunch of those other guys. See, during the week, I study and pray and prepare sermons and John watches ESPN and these things. You get both this way. But I'm just saying, here's this guy and all these players, just numbers of them coming up. But when he would have us up to pray with them, like he'd get us, he said, now here, Pastor Charles, Pastor, get in here. He was just praying scripture, just scripture after scripture. Guy's like a machine. I thought, man, this guy really believes God's Word. I just want to encourage you, believe God's Word. And then the third thing I've mentioned here, there are many others, but we just have the time to do this. How do we glorify God? Well, we do it by praising God for who He is, thinking about all those attributes, many others, believing His Word, and then trusting God's promises. Turn with me one other place. Turn to the book of Romans. I want you to see this. Trust in God's promises. In Romans chapter number 4, look first in verse 13, and then you'll begin to see the context of the scripture. It says, in Romans 4:13, says, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be an heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Then if you look in verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Now this scripture's coming out of Genesis, back in Genesis chapter number 17. It says, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, talking about Abraham, that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since it was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Now look in verse 21. Fully convinced, what? Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Boy, you ought to underline that verse. You talk about a way to give God glory. You trust God's promises. One other scripture that'll tie it together. Turn back over in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 1. And I'm going to wait for you to get there on this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse number 20, the Bible says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him, and that is Jesus. I want to encourage you tonight as I encourage my own heart. You know, I want to give God glory in everything that I experience in life and go through in life. But all of us can do that by simply trusting God's promises. And you just remember this, God can do everything he's promised to do. Look at the rest of that verse. All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his, what's that word? Glory. Father God, I bless you and thank you that we just tonight can think these moments together about giving you glory. And God, that is our chief assignment in life. Our supreme purpose is to glorify you. And God, I pray that in every way we can, through whatever we journey, that we will give you glory. In the happy times, in the challenging times, God, may we honor you and respect you and trust you is my prayer in Jesus' precious name.